When artist Charlie Rood was painting a landscape she titles A Gray Day in Dixon City, it's possible that she was listening to a tune like this by Pink Floyd. This is Any Color You Like from the album The Dark Side of the Moon. A Gray Day in Dixon City is the image the Circle Center for the Arts in Wilkes-Barre has selected to promote the exhibition that opens there tomorrow, Friday, April 24th. A show of Charlie's landscapes titled Streets of NEPA. And what we see is a painting created from a largely blue palette with roller coaster-like roads and a tipsy townscape stretching out past a stand of trees. Water slides and flowing rivers come to mind as we follow the roads that roll all across the canvas. And Charlie's landscape calls to mind as well another landscape, this one by British artist David Hockney, titled Nichols Canyon. And here are some of the phrases commentators have used to describe this piece. They say the work is often cited as a turning point in Hockney's landscape practice, where he abandons strict naturalism in favor of aerial viewpoints and exaggerated curves, creating a sense of disorientation and movement, prompting viewers to engage with the painting intuitively and emotionally, rather than striving to recognize real details of a specific locale. Scholars also say Hockney's vibrant and non-naturalistic palette transforms the canyon into a psychological landscape and a kind of personal geography. And we might say the very same of some of the work of Charlie Rood. Soon, we will learn that the landscapes in the show, Streets of NEPA, have been a kind of turning point for Charlie. And so, even if she has never even heard this tune, Any Color You Like by Pink Floyd, it could be an apt theme song for her recent artistic explorations. As we probably know, writers frequently describe Pink Floyd's music as disorienting and capable of shifting the listener's perspective through the sonic landscapes they create. And Charlie will tell us that sometimes she does listen to Pink Floyd in her studio while painting. Other times she listens to classic blues players like Leadbelly and all kinds of independent artists and sounds. Now again, we're speculating here, but we wonder whether she's ever listened to the British singer-songwriter Birdie. Here's a tune from Birdie's second studio album, Fire Within. She calls the song Strange Birds.
Little ghost, you're listening. Unlike most, you don't miss a thing. You see the truth.
Birdie is a British singer-songwriter, and here are some of these lyrics. You've always loved the strange birds. Now I want to fly into your world. I want to be heard, my wounded wings still beating. You've always loved the strange birds inside.
I want to be heard. My wounding wings.
And Music Mix Match suggests that Strange Birds is about finding acceptance and connection through shared uniqueness, with the metaphor of strange birds representing individuals who feel different or misunderstood, but find solace in each other. And this song, too, might be a kind of signature tune for a new art world venture, Charlie will explain to us. In anticipation of the opening tomorrow of an exhibition titled Streets of NEPA at the Circle Center for the Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre, Charlie Rood stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk about her life in art.
I'm born and raised in Northeast PA. Little town of Mayfield is where I'm originally from. And I've lived up and down the Lackawanna Valley, really. Carbondale, Scranton, Mayfield, German, Oliphant.
When you were little, did you spend time scribbling in your notebooks in school? How did you come to art?
Yeah, so it was first thing I remember doing. Ever since I could hold a crayon, I've been creating art. As a matter of fact, my mother had given it to me a few years ago, was a napkin I made a tree on when I was maybe 4. And I have it in a frame in my studio. So I have always been creating, yeah.
When you were little and you were working with crayons, how did you get there? Did you study in school? Did you do it in high school?
Yeah, since the time I started doing it, I've done it my whole life. I'm largely self-taught. So it went from just kind of scribbling and doing, you know, the things that children do, to copying comic books and cartoons. Ninja Turtles was one of my favorite things to do when I was young. I did a lot of that. And then as I got older and got interested in fine art, I guess we'll say, you know, I started to look at the Renaissance artists. Da Vinci is absolutely a hero of mine. And so I did, it was a lot of copying and pursuing, which is really the way all artists learn.
And so you have not narrowed your focus in terms of the various mediums you choose?
So I'm sort of in the process of opening myself back up. I pursued art as often as I could. I had other careers and I had a family too, which, you know, having young children makes pursuing an art career a little bit challenging. But I would say that at some point, maybe in my late teens, early 20s, I think I took a little bit of some bad advice and I started to narrow my focus mostly to landscape painting. And I stuck with it because I got a very good response and I started selling work. So, you know, I was sort of encouraged by default to go into that direction. And then I definitely hit a slump with that in my 30s. And I kept doing it, but I knew something wasn't right and I needed to sort of expand. So I started really playing with landscape and twisting it and doing whatever I wanted to do with it. And that led me to finally go back to the way I was when I was much younger. It's more about the pursuit of an idea and what medium is best for bringing out that idea rather than, you know, I'm an artist that creates this kind of art. I'm much more interested in ideas.
And when we see the card, the invitational card, the rack card for the show at the Circle Center, we see something of what you are saying, right? Yeah. Don't we see that?
Yeah, the cover of that card is a painting called A Gray Day in Dixon City. And my approach to landscape became, I guess I should give you a little bit of a background how I got there. I was more of a traditional landscape painter, very influenced by the Impressionists, especially the Pennsylvania Impressionists, which if you're not familiar with them, I highly recommend going down to, was it Doylestown is the museum?
Right, the Michener Museum.
And I did very well with that, but I started to get bored. And I never could quite capture the mountains in the Lackawanna Valley the way I wanted to. Because it has that illusion when you're sort of driving around where the mountains are sort of looming over everything and the houses, the way they're dotted through the valley and stuff. And when I would do it in a traditional way, it would capture the scene, but not in an emotional way that I needed. So one day I literally just went, I'm just going to do this the way I want to do it. And I used all kinds of strange colors and I just painted as it came to me. I didn't care anything about the perspective. And it worked. And so I started going into that and just letting the painting happen. And I also started working from memory instead of photograph. So I started painting the places that I go to frequently that I could just recall. And so, you know, there's a tree here and the road goes here and there's, which makes it much freer because now I'm trying to recreate an emotional response rather than do a one-for-one of what's there.
The image on the card, if we're looking, it's maybe not a drone view, but an aerial view of a twisting road. Is
yeah.
that right?
So it's inspired by, there's that intersection in Dixon City. If you're coming down from Wegmans, and there's the intersection right there, and you see the mountains on the other side, and everything kind of looks like, to me, it always looks like the roads are kind of swirling down a drain, and then the mountains are all around it. And so I let that sort of play in my head as I did it. And, you know, I don't use any reference photos, and I happened to be leaving on a day where it was that very gray, silvery look in Dixon City, and there's the yellow of the traffic lights and all of the different, which plays beautifully into the blue of the mountains. So I let that sort of happen and try to recreate how I felt when I was looking at the scene that day. And if I happen to drive there again and see it with different light, I can create a different memory. with maybe a different kind of drain. Swirling down. Yeah, so it's very, they're very emotional paintings, I would say.
Is that one representative of the works in this show?
Yes, so that's a really good representation of all of the works in this show. They are all, I don't do as much as I did, but I used to take a lot of walks. And, you know, I would love to just look at the scenery as you walk, because Lackawanna Valley is a beautiful place to live. So all of these paintings are recreations of places I've seen. Again, it's not a one-for-one copy. Sometimes people ask me, well, where is this exactly? And it might not be exactly a place, but it's definitely representative of what the valley looks like.
We know the gallery at the Circle Center is intriguing because it is really...
It really is a circle, yeah. I think it's going to look quite lovely in that space. It's a really interesting space. So I think it'll add to the sort of the warpness in the paintings and the unusual perspective, the way the building is round.
Do you go in spurts? So this is one recent example of what you've been doing, or are these over a number of years?
This group of landscapes cover a period probably from around 2022 to, I guess, 2025 was probably when the last one was painted. And it was in conjunction with another group of work I was doing where I was going back to childhood memories and painting places that I remember from my childhood, which I didn't realize at the time until I sort of got done with the series that they were feeding into one another, where I was exercising my memory and didn't realize that that's what I was doing. And that childlike memory of, you know, everybody I think says it, the colors always seemed brighter in summer and everything was more interesting. And I have tried to hold on to that throughout my life and really sitting down and exploring those memories and trying to recreate how they felt to me when I was younger allowed me to then take scenes from my everyday life now and do the same thing. And I think that's sort of run its course now. I have tried to go paint several other things in that vein, and I think I've pursued the idea to its limit currently.
You also mentioned, as I was admiring the adornments that you have, and you noted that what you have you made up
yes.
on the pin.
Yeah, I call this my little ugly. I'm working on a series. So this is actually made from a jar lid. One of the new things I'm trying to bring into my practice is sustainability and taking materials that already exist in my house and repurposing them. And I've always been a tinkerer. So alongside teaching myself to paint, I also taught myself how to do, I don't know if I would call it traditional woodworking. I use traditional hand tools. I don't know if my process is traditional. So I'll make my own frames and mountings for my panels and things like that. And then metalwork was always something I've been interested in. And I had to take a long break from that because I didn't know where to do it. But in our newer house, we have a basement that's very usable. So the first thing I did was build a workbench and get all my metalworking stuff out. And so I've been messing around with scraps of metal and making these little weird faces. And they're just held on with magnets. So,
wonderful.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think it, unless you told me, I wouldn't think it's a
jar lid. Probably a pickle jar. I eat too many pickles.
You were on the way in so that we could have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And on the way out was Liz Tilley, who is an artist who works for WVIA. And you and she were in a very distinctive show that was at the Everhart Museum. What part did you take?
That was a wonderful show. I got to do, there was actually two parts to that show. There was the recycling, it had to do with the recycling in Scranton. And we did works out of cardboard. So I did a piece, I did an anvil, a very realistic looking anvil out of paper mache and cardboard. And then the second part of it was using either recycled, found, or thrifted clothing that you could repurpose and make an outfit. So I did a piece, I thrifted a piece and then made alterations to it. And I made jewelry for it and did some things. And that was a really cool show. I was really proud of that.
Do you work with textiles?
I'm starting to. I did a little in the past. As a matter of fact, my partner and I just broke out the sewing machine that was in our basement, tuned it all up so we could start, because I have another show coming up where I'm going to make a garment to wear. And I'm by no means a seamstress or a tailor, but I really love, one of my favorite things to do is discover processes and how they work. So if I'm really interested in a piece, it's not always the end result that I'm interested in, it's how did that happen? How did someone make that? And I need to, and the only way I can learn something is by actually fumbling through the process and realizing what not to do. And then go back and correct those mistakes and then really, oh, that's how they got there. And sometimes I get to the end result and I go, okay, that was fun, and I push it to the side. And then sometimes I bring it into my practice and I make more art that way.
Will you be talking at the opening of the show or the reception, perhaps?
I'm always at my openings, unless something terrible. I'm always at my openings. So I will be there to answer anyone's questions. I believe they're scheduling an art talk as well. So I'm always happy to do those too. I can go on and on.
If you have an interest in process, I think there are probably people who are looking at your work and wanting to know about your process.
That was actually one of the indications to me that I was on an interesting path with the newer landscape work, is when I started showing the work and people were coming up to me, and not only were they having an emotional response to the work, they also they were asking questions that I didn't expect the average person to ask about process and why I was choosing colors I chose and things like that. And suddenly I found myself engaged in very deep conversations with people about the work rather than, oh, this is pretty, where is it? And then sort of thanks and moving on, you know, someone would spend 25 or 30 minutes with me talking about a particular painting. And I was like, oh, I've hit a nerve somehow with this work. And it's been really, really interesting.
Anyone in your family an artist?
I believe my mother, when she was younger, dabbled in the arts, and then nothing really, she didn't really pursue it into adulthood. But all of my siblings are talented in some way or another. My older brother writes. My younger brother could just pick up an instrument and play it. Our baby sister has a beautiful singing voice. So everybody's got a little bit of something, yeah.
What about music in your life? Does it inform your work in any way?
I love music. I always listen to music while I work. Very rarely do I not have music on. I listen to all kinds of music.
Like?
Oh, geez. What am I currently listening to? I'll do anything from punk music to really old school blues like Lead Belly to... there's always something like Pink Floyd on the list, or newer bands, really independent stuff. It runs the gamut.
Do you get a sense that it affects your gestures?
Yes. There are times when if I'm really in the zone, I guess is the word everyone likes to use, where everything's running smoothly in my process and I have the right music on, it can definitely influence me. There are times where I have to turn it off because something's not going right with the process and now it's distracting me. Yes, it can definitely influence. I think my mood influences my choice in my music, and then the music from there can influence how I paint. Yeah.
As you were mentioning, you have a new venture.
Yes. So for a very long time, being someone who is self-taught, I've often found myself at odds with traditional way of doing things in the art world, and being someone who also, I owned a gallery and sold artwork for a long time, so I saw a lot of how that operates too. I've always had thoughts about how things should operate. So I am going to be opening a gallery alongside my business partner, Teresa. May 8th is our first show. It's called Strange Birds, and it's going to be in the Pine Brook neighborhood of Scranton. So right on Capouse Avenue. And we definitely want to take a very different approach to how art is shown, how art is made, how we interact with the artist. You know, we would like to get more money into hands of artists, but we want to make it more of an experiential space where we're going to have music and live shows. We hope to do classes and make it a community space. Even when we show two-dimensional work, we want it to be based around something else, an experience that's happening. I've been telling people, I'm not a big fan of the model where people come in, they do their lap, they eat their cracker, very nice show, and then they kind of leave. And we want to encourage people to be in a space, experience the art as it's happening, you know, have an experience with the artist. And I find, too, that when people walk away with an experience or have an interaction with the artist that's positive, they're far more likely to want to purchase a work. Because now it's just not, oh, I bought this piece, I'm just going to hang it on the wall. It's, I bought this piece because it reminds me of the experience I had. And that's what art is supposed to be about. It's not a commodity. It's us sharing our experiences as human beings. And the art is... I've heard people say the art is the process that you use to create. It's also part of the experience between people. The picture you buy or the sculpture is just the end result of that. That's the outcome, not the actual art. And I'm sure there's people that would argue with me about that. So we want to do things in a very different way. And we also want to put emphasis on underrepresented artists. So we're going to really lean into finding queer artists. Our tagline is actually going to be, it's Strange Birds. So it's a queer space for queer art by queer people. And it's really right now important to us that those voices are heard and give a space where not only can the art be shown, but we can share our experiences together and be strong in a community sense.
Did it take a while to find just the right space for that?
Actually, that was the part that almost fell into our laps. We've been discussing this for maybe 3 years, and Teresa and I both have very similar opinions about how the art world should work. She has a lot of experience in the art world and ideas about how we should change things. And we weren't sure what we were going to do to put our ideas into play. And then someone sort of tapped us on the shoulder and said, you know, that building's going to be empty really soon. Well, this is our chance. And it will be pricey, but it's an enormous space. It's about 3,700 square feet. So we're going to go for it. And I would rather try and fail spectacularly than to say I should have and would have or could have.
Did you say that the show is Strange Birds? And what's the gallery's name?
So the name of the gallery is Strange Birds. And the first show is May 8th. It's Strange Birds Take Flight. And we're encouraging anybody who wants to actually make a bird and hang it in the show. This is a total open call. So anyone that would like to make a bird, we're asking people to make a bird that represents them. It doesn't have to be, but we would prefer that if you did it that way. And the due date for work is April 30th, and you can drop that off at Retro Cafe on Compouse Avenue in Scranton. And if we thought this would be a fun thing to do, if you want to have a piece, but you're not an artist or you don't feel confident in your ability, we are going to give people a printout of our logo. It'll be blank, almost like a coloring sheet, and you can color it in, or you could take the design and do whatever you want with it and then bring it, and we will hang that in the show too. Because we really want to break down the wall that art is supposed to be only for certain people. That I think that really has to end in order for art to endure and become and evolve and go to its next stage. I think the art world has kind of hit a wall with the way it's commoditized and it's an investment in the... I'm not picking on artists who pursue their career that way, but I would like to see it done a different way.
Do you have a website yet?
We don't have a website for Strange Birds yet. That's one of the things that's on the list. But you can follow us on Instagram at Strange Birds NEPA. I believe there's underscores between all of those. But if you put in Strange Birds NEPA, it's going to come up. And we're also on Facebook, of course.
Artist Charlie Rood speaking with us about her work and her new gallery project in anticipation of the opening tomorrow of an exhibition of her work, Streets of NEPA, at the Circle Center for the Arts, 130 Rear South Franklin Street in downtown Wilkes-Barre. There will be an artist reception tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m., and the show will run through June 12th. There's no admission fee. For more information, on the web, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org. WyomingValleyArtLeague.org. In addition, Charlie and her business partner, Teresa, will open a new gallery on Compouse Avenue in Scranton called Strange Birds. They're inviting everyone to submit a bird, ideally one that represents a sense of who you are, to their opening show. Strange Birds Takes Flight. The show will open on May 8th, and they are inviting anyone to submit a bird, ideally, as we have heard, a bird, one that represents the sense of who you are. The deadline for submission is Thursday, April 30th, and the drop-off is Retro Cafe on Compouse Avenue in Scranton. Again, that show, Strange Birds Take Flight, will open on May 8th with music and more.